CBC is one of the, what they call, spearheading partners in the polio eradication effort, founding members, as it were. But the number of partners is tremendous, and without each partner's contribution, actually, this large public health endeavor wouldn't be at all where it is now. The goal to eradicate polio globally was set by World Health Assembly in 1988, but that didn't start without a background. There was great progress in the Americas. They had their own polio elimination program. Dr. Sever will talk a little bit about that. So it didn't start from nothing, but it also didn't start well. The major efforts to really get to where we were, or are, this is 2006, with four endemic countries remaining and a lot of infected countries, was a major kickstart that only started in the 1990s when funding actually became exponential enough to fund the efforts that were needed. And because it's a dynamic situation, you saw what was happening in the whole of 2006. If you look in the last 12-month period, you'll see dots in a lot of places, including in the Horn of Africa. But what we really try to focus on is what's happening now in the last 6 months. And the countries that are shaded are those that have are endemic or reinfected that still have polio within the last 6 months. I'll quickly go through. And I have a lot of slides, so don't blink, or you may miss something. Basically, where are we? What do we have to do? And a little bit at the end about future challenges on post-polio. Because of a major crisis in funding and some criticism from some loud voices, people were questioning the value of continuing to go forward with polio eradication. The new Director General of the World Health Organization gathered the stakeholders together in this year, and said, okay, these are the reasons why we should continue. And the major funding partners were there saying, these are the reasons why we'll continue to fund. And basically, we are too far along to step back. And in fact, if you go to a control effort, it's much more costly than finishing the job of polio eradication. There are caveats around that, but it's basically there is a consensus to continue to move forward. But the Director General said, let's do our darndest now in the next 2 years. Let's set new milestones. Let's try and do best at what we have done, what we have learned over those 2 years. The problem is basically four countries where health systems are weak, infrastructure at the lowest level is very poor, and corruption is among its highest levels if you go by Transparency International, and it's no surprise, therefore, that these are the polio endemic countries. The milestones that have been set are like previously. We missed a 2000 goal. We are at 2007, but we didn't miss that by a light effort. There was naivete at the beginning on how difficult it would be. So the milestones are put at a slightly more realistic level and looking at reducing endemic districts, stopping polio where it's come back, and dealing with process indicators that tell us how immune the population is. Funding I won't really deal with. Major tool that's come up that's helped us in our efforts is resurrecting the Sabin vaccines as they were originally given separately, monovalent 1, monovalent 3. And we've been aided in dealing with outbreaks by finding them sooner and reacting sooner. That in big part has been improved by surveillance strengthening and better shipment, but also cutting the procedures in the laboratory in half, both for finding virus and then identifying it. For monovalent vaccine, basically, one dose of type 1 is the same as three doses of trivalent 1, 2, 3 vaccine against type 1. And since that's the predominant virus circulating in most of these countries, that's where we have taken our bang for the buck and used monovalent vaccines, including countries that were reinfected previously polio-free. Go after the bug that's specific with the specific vaccine. The monovalent 3 vaccine has been used much less. But of course, these four countries are also endemic for polio 3, and so that its strategic use will become more important. New tactics. Okay. They're not really new this year. A lot of these things have been learned over time, but basically in Nigeria, you probably heard the problems that have occurred there, but without bringing other health interventions in, the program would not have gone forward. So immunization plus days added other vaccines and other interventions, most popularly antihelminthics, to help engage the communities. Afghanistan, Pakistan, you would think would have gotten their synchronization together a long time ago, but it's always been a bit disjoint, and it's been improved since the end of 2006. India went into a very drastic mode of basically a campaign every month. I'll talk about the 2007 schedule a bit later. The community issues that were causing problems, particularly in Uttar Pradesh, with the Muslim community, a disenfranchised community, were being addressed, and that there are signs that that is less of an issue. In Nigeria, the northern Muslim communities were at odds with the central government and politicized, well, I should say leaders politicized the issue that led to critical misunderstandings there. That has been addressed better, still not fully addressed, but addressed better by going to individual communities, bypassing the problem leaders. Other new tactics are basically dealing with outbreaks faster, and I'll talk about that, and having this encoded in the international health regulation, and with Saudi Arabia requiring proof of immunization prior to the Hajj and Umrah for their visitors. Some of these slides will be a little familiar with subsequent speakers. The outbreak response is basically deep and fast, and it works when it is deep and fast, and it's now gone beyond just a recommendation from a body. The World Health Assembly has endorsed this approach. Where to go? In the four endemic countries, you have to think global and act local. Think globally, act locally. And the problem is not throughout the country, it's in specific districts and within these countries. Within India, for example, these are importations from the endemic zones. This also, we'll talk about what happened here with type 1, but if you look in northern India, there are about 350 local governments within the problem states, and there are only about 40 of them that are having disease. Okay, now then we have to question surveillance, but just follow me this far along, that we really have to act locally to see what the problems are in those specific areas. India, red dots are type 1, blue dots are type 3. 2006, an outbreak, tenfold increase from 2005 in type 1. They start hammering it with type 1 vaccine, monovalent vaccine. Type 3 has come up, not as many cases as type 1, 240 cases. And we'll get into what's happened in this particular area, because this zone has been the generator of polio for the world. If you look at western Uttar Pradesh, which basically is from here, 2006 and 2007, there have only been 5 cases in western Uttar Pradesh in 2007 because of the targeted use of the monovalent type 1 vaccine. And despite the high season May to September, what you have seen previously has not been seen again. This is the biggest and best news. Type 3 has increased in 2007. They initially only used the monovalent vaccine in 4 districts and have repeated its use where they were seeing the problem. And the type 3 disease, which is depicted here, has been, those cases have been very few. Unfortunately, it's gone outside that zone, and the use of trivalent and monovalent vaccines has not kept up with it, so that in the other parts of western Uttar Pradesh, it's continued to increase, and unfortunately now it is also in Bihar. So what I am showing you now is how aggressively they are dealing with rounds every month. Blue is trivalent vaccine, yellow is monovalent type 1, and the fuchsia here is monovalent type 3. And you'll see that they're dealing with some across-the-country approaches, but basically it's targeted to where the disease has been or where the disease has popped up. And this is what's happening for the end of the year as we're exiting the high season. So type 3 has now gotten into Bihar, and these targeted responses are now hopefully leading to across-the-state type 3 response as well. Afghanistan, Pakistan is a chronic problem because of access and security. I have to say that basically this is a problem of local versus central government issues, and migratory patterns, which Ellen will get into. Pakistan is showing improvements, fewer cases, but they always have a problem of having cases in several places. They also have a problem of having several families of virus. Now, I haven't talked about genomic sequencing, but we have a wonderful epidemiologic tool being able to follow how a virus gets from one place to the other by looking at its genetics and doing family trees. And by doing this, we see that basically you can understand where the patterns of transmission are. It also shows, of course, that we have some type down here that also shows up here. So we have a problem in broad movement of populations as well. The other aspects of Afghanistan will be spoken in more detail a bit, but just to show you that we're trying to address, the global environment is trying to address improved access through local negotiation. And by charting access, and with the ministerial and religious support, we also are dealing with fewer children that are missed on post-immunization monitoring. So the red is the worst here, the yellow is least bad in terms of percent of missed children. The areas where there were access now have led to basically below 10% missed children. Nigeria. Oh, Nigeria. This is a problem. It's a country where there have been basically a breakdown of total health care, where local governments pocket money so easily that you talk about government at the central level, it's irrelevant compared to the local government level. But you have a lot of hardworking people. You have some people who are devoted. They need a lot of supervision, including with internal supervision by themselves. But there has been progress. Type 1, red. Type 3, blue. Much less disease. The same number of states basically infected. The same number of districts basically infected. Almost. But improvements. If you'll note, this is the epicenter for Nigeria. This is Kano State. And this is where all the type 1 that was seen throughout the country, basically, had been generated. It has been free, but two cases now so far, I think one or two, within 2007. Most of the disease there is type 3. Just to show the value of this targeted tool, monovalent vaccines, that were introduced in March in 2006. Type 1 is what was used here initially. This is type 3, and it came up a bit, but both have been under decent control, with type 1 being at historically low levels. This is the high season in 2007, when a type 3 round was introduced, and a trivalent round was subsequently introduced. I'll tell you why in a bit. But basically, we have historic advantage situation in India. We have a historic situation in Nigeria. Let's see where we go from here. They chronically miss children in their campaigns. They take rounded corners. They don't know where they need to go. There are some non-compliant families that are still working with workers to keep their children from being vaccinated. But as best as we can tell, it continues to improve. What this is are the percent of LGAs that have hit at least 90% coverage in their post-campaign monitoring, and that percentage is increasing. We think this is true. We also have another way of looking at immunization coverage, and that's looking at the cases of children with paralysis, non-polio AFP, acute flaccid paralysis that is not proven to be polio, is an indicator of what the immunization status might be of the community at large. So this is that pool of individuals from 10 states looking at their immune status, and my, how many children were missed so in 2006? No vaccine at all for these children in this age group up to 5 years. After many, many rounds, after routine immunization, which was weak, but so many missed children. With the introduction of the IPDs and with the monovalent vaccine, which has no reflection on this, but with the introduction of IPDs, it did go down to under 20% for these 10 states, even less than 7% for some of those 10 states. But that means some are much higher than 20%. So we still have a problem even at the end of 2006. It's a bit better in 2007, I have to say, but it's still not below 10% missed children. Here we are then for all these countries in terms of what's happened with type 1 from 2006 to 2007. type 3 from 2006 to 2007. I can't say we're winning the fight, but we are doing much better with type 1. Type 3, we took a strategic initiative to deal with type 1 preferentially in these two large countries, and it's showing in terms of the type 3 disease. So expected, maybe some missteps on how much could have been applied in India, type 3 monovalent vaccine, but progress. Quick word about outbreaks. We didn't get from just all those countries to four with polio. We've had major movement tracked by the genomic sequencing from Nigeria to many other countries, at least 21, and from India to many other countries. That also led to chronic continued infection with Angola and now DRC, and a large outbreak in Namibia with adult deaths. This situation is what needed better response when we talked about acting faster and acting deeper, because it took a lot of resources to deal with the outbreaks that occurred following importation into a polio-free state. There are three zones with still active outbreaks. Myanmar is looking the best, despite the fact that they still hadn't done an NID until recently. Angola, Chad, and Congo will talk in a little bit more detail. What happened for Myanmar is that polio that was occurring within northern India jumped through Bangladesh. These are cases within 2006, and then showed up with Myanmar in 2007. That was an accident, but here we go into Chad and Angola, where Angola hasn't shown many cases, but they also, by their genetic sequencing, are not finding many cases. They have a lot of missed cases and bad surveillance. More than three types of introductions have occurred from Angola into Congo, and unfortunately we've seen the march of disease from west to east. Chad has also had its share of disease, and I'll show you its march from west to east is shown here, but then its progression over time I'll talk about as well. Myanmar, despite the fact that they only had limited immunization days in response and had preemptive subnational immunization days before they had found wild polio virus, apparently have this under control. Now, granted that we still have to look at surveillance for a longer period of time and always strengthen, and their NID has come out late, but it looks like it's under control, as opposed to Chad, which have had multiple NIDs and a few sub-NIDs, and they still had disease going on. They still had disease that was going on and being missed because they still had that same strain of wild polio virus found more than a year later. That must have been there all along. And a new introduction from Nigeria as well, of a different strain of type 1. Angola, the same situation. Two different introductions from India. My oh my, these travelers. And again, poor response. So obviously the sub and national immunization days that they're doing are not reaching the children at risk. And again, with this second peak, during this whole time we have ongoing transmission of the first strain that was introduced, weekly found. DR Congo did a great job a few years of clearing out polio and had preemptive subnational immunization days along the border when it showed up in Angola. That hasn't kept multiple strains from showing up. 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of families that have come in from different places of Angola into DR Congo, and that have persisted despite the response because of the difficulties of doing responses in Congo. So the immunization guidelines work for responses if they're deep and quick, but they're not deep if you don't reach all the children. A quick word about vaccine-derived poliovirus. We won't talk much except to say it's been in the news. After what was in Angola, there have been 9 outbreaks identified in 9 countries in the last 5 years of type 1, type 2, or type 3 disease that comes from the virus perpetually circulating in lowly, poorly immunized communities that slowly changes into wild-like characteristics and causes polio disease. The largest outbreaks have occurred in Indonesia and now in Nigeria and Niger, 69 at this point in time in Nigeria to Niger. And again, it occurs where the routine immunization was the weakest. These are the vaccine-derived poliovirus cases. We see CBDVPD. The number of dots shows the type of disease. Type 2 is protected only by the trivalent vaccine. Their routine immunization was so poor that they had this disease even occurring when they were using trivalent vaccine for rounds, and it got worse when they started using monovalent vaccine. But the point is, where the immunization has been the worst, despite the fact there's been little type 1, it's where the type 2 has been circulating because of the historical low coverage and the chronic current coverage of missed children even in this year. That's what these percentages represent. This is meant to show over time these VDPV cases in Nigeria and different families that have sprung up and one that kind of took off. Despite the fact that there were trivalent rounds that had type 2 against this virus, they obviously weren't very effective when they were done at low season. And we're hoping that this one and the one subsequent will be enough to now curb this sizable outbreak of CVP. Unfortunately, the situation with routine immunization, sorry for anybody that has red-green blindness, but this means still poor routine immunization coverage, under 50% of their targeted children in the northern zones, particularly in the high-risk areas, and very few states actually meeting their goals for routine polio vaccine coverage. What I would like to show, basically, on this slide, is if you respond to an outbreak appropriately, the outbreaks stops of CVPV. In Nigeria, these rounds are not reaching children. You're going to have persistence of the virus. And despite the fact that there were some subnational immunization day rounds, we did have also CVPV in Myanmar, the same condition that leads to outbreak, low immunization coverage of wild polio virus leads to the conditions where you can get CVPV coming and circulating. Okay, so improvement in type 1 transmission, meaning less, particularly in Western UP, fewer outbreaks than before, and our milestones show pretty good general progress. In terms of looking at fewer districts, okay, we failed in some of the endemic zones. We haven't gotten to low missed children. In looking at the interruption of outbreaks, we have stopping in 10, but persistence in 3 that have occurred in 2006 into 2007. And we have two new countries. Myanmar may be under control, but Sudan is a problem. Again, the march across Chad has gotten us to the situation where we were 3 years ago, where we run the risk of perpetuating circulation in the Horn of Africa again. So far, this case has only occurred in Darfur, but that doesn't mean much, does it? Darfur has its problems as well. So we're lucky we even diagnosed it, much less I hope we can respond. This is a red light of concern. However, the number of cases that have occurred in reinfected countries has gotten to where it needs to be until we can get to zero. Outbreaks are under better control. We have problems. Sorry for that P. The funding milestone I won't address. It's not my problem. And in terms of where we need to go, the type 3 outbreak in UP and Bihar was intentional because we didn't necessarily target type 3. The response to it has been less than appropriate because it's now spread, but now we recognize that problem. Nigeria, we're still missing children in those critical states, and we have to keep doing better locally. Afghanistan, Pakistan, the same thing, and Ellen will address some of this in her discussion. And the reinfected zones, we have our problem areas, both in how they look and also how they're finding disease. Surveillance is a problem in all these countries except India. Now, the last is just to deal with the fact that we will get to zero polio. It's not 2000, it's not 2004. We're going to start setting exact year dates because we need to look district by district. But basically, we'll get to a point where we'll have zero polio. The vaccine-derived poliovirus outbreaks tell us we cannot keep using oral poliovirus vaccine forever. So we have to deal with how will we stop, how will it be coordinated, what consensus do we need to deal with it. There will be use of an activated polio vaccine. Can it be universal? How does that work if you only have 60% of children vaccinated in some countries or lower in some districts? How will that work? So there are many things to be worked out on OPV cessation. But basically that means the systems that are weak need to become stronger. The routine immunization systems and the surveillance systems. We have to deal with that basic infrastructure building. We have to deal with preparing for the future in terms of possibilities of breaks with vaccine stockpiles and antivirals.